In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 7, I skipped it, the main one. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I think it behooves every one of us this morning to understand what the will of the Lord is for us personally, individually, Brother Lowell. And I think we all know that, but I think the problem is we tend to forget. We can wonder why that is, and I can tell you why that is. That's because of the way we're made up. We have a tendency to forget the things that we ought to remember and remember the things we ought to forget. And I hate that. But let's know that's the way it is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, if you look in this chapter, there's a lot of different things here that tells us, I believe, what the will of the Lord is for a believer in general. If you look in verse 1, chapter 5, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." That's pretty good advice. That's something that we need to understand and do. Then if you look, I marked some of these, but... Verse 25 of verse 4 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth." Verse 10 of chapter 5, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 7 of chapter 5, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Speaking of verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." So a lot of advice here in this chapter. But I want to go just a little bit, just a little different angle with it. We know it's true that we should understand what the will of the Lord is. And by this statement also says to us that we do forget and do get sidetracked as God's people. I thought about what Jeremiah said, and this is a verse of scripture that stays on my heart a lot. In Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that hold no water." Now, we'd all agree that in general, that the church world today, I would think and say is in dire need of a correction. Why is that? Again, because of the way things are and the way we're made up and all this, and because that we don't do what we ought to do. But what my thinking is, how do we correct it? What do you got to do? We read all these other stuff, but to make it more personal. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, familiar scripture, it says, "I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The Apostle Paul writing this to the believer, had it not been a need for it, he wouldn't have wrote it, number one. And it also says to us that there is a need. And he goes on, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that acceptable. Let me turn on over here. I got the thing in here. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for us as individuals. Be not conformed to this world. I think one of the biggest problems in the, generally speaking, again, in the church world, religious realm today, is we have conformed to the ways of the world. Well, here it tells us not to do that. Be not conformed. So he says, be ye not unwise, in verse 7, chapter 5, Ephesians, be ye not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord in our heart. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. And I want to take that and go back over to Psalms chapter 51 and get a personal testimony from a man that we all have read about in the Bible, and y'all know about David. There's another place in the scripture that I think parallels with this. And I get my thinking right here in a minute, I'll tell you what it is. I think about this too in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We all know that. And I think we look at that more as, and we see it so often. I mean, you can drive around, especially in this area, and you'll see people have that on these little things, you know, they stick in the yard. What do you call them? I can't think. And we read that, and we look at it, and we say, boy, that's right. We agree to it. But it says this, if my people which have are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. I just have a feeling that that scripture was given for a better reason to put on something to stick out in her yard. It's given for instruction to the believer. And so with that in mind, I want to look over here in Psalms chapter 51. As I said to start with, this gets pretty personal. In order for it to have any effect on us, it has to get personal. Psalms chapter 51, we're all familiar with it, and this is David after some sins that he committed. We're not going to talk about those sins. We're going to talk about how personal he made this to himself. I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm going to come back, and we'll talk about it. I hope that maybe by talking about this, that it will give us a greater awareness in our lives as God's people, how important it is to not only know what the will of the Lord is for us, but to maintain that in our lives. Like I said, easy to talk about it, harder to do. But David got in a mess, you know that? I mean, he got in a mess, Brother Lowell. And I'm just of opinion, there's a lot of Christians today, myself included, maybe some more in here, that we get in a mess sometimes. When we get our to where our thinking's not right and our priorities are not right. I'm talking about concerning the Lord and His ways, then we're in a mess. And a lot of times we look at the big sins as, and when we read about David here, our mind automatically goes to fornication and things of that nature. And that's probably not the problem with us today and us here this morning. Probably the Father's from that, but let me tell you something. It don't have to be a big sin. It don't have to be getting drunk. It don't have to be fornication to get between you and the Lord, myself and the Lord. So, it's personal. And I don't know whether you ever noticed this or not, but I thought about just reading some of this, but I think I'll just, for the sake of time, just go over it. And David says here in chapter 51, in about every verse, and I didn't realize this till I got to looking at it closer today, but if you look at this, in every verse, at least down to verse 15 maybe, I think that's right. May not be exactly, but every verse, if you'll notice in it, in verse 1, for instance, upon me. Verse 2, wash me. Verse 3, my sins. Verse 4, I sinned. Verse 5, I was. Verse 6, make me. Verse 7, purge me. Verse 8, help me, make me. Verse 9, my sins. Verse 10, in me. Verse 11, cast me. Verse 12, help me, I can't find it. Restore me. Verse 13, will I? Well, we could go on, but the thought is, it was personal. It has to, and being personal has to do with, I think has to do, it's tied closely, connected anyway, to our attitude. One thing I thought about, and I think this proves it out, this message here from David, and I think that we need to understand, and again, I'm not telling us anything this morning we don't already know, I'm just reminding us, that repentance always, saint or sinner, repentance always proceeds pardon. Always, without exception. I think it's shown here, but I wanted to talk about, I read that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and if you look at this, David's message to us here in Psalms 51 has a lot of similar things. Again, it's personal. It has to do with our attitude, repentance. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people will what? The rest of it. That's it, right? But humble themselves. Humble themselves. That's kind of the message David is here. Repentance. Humble ourselves. Has to do with our attitude. I don't know. You may look at it different, but I was just a thought hit me this morning. Or not, didn't hit me. It just come across my mind. As I was coming to church, just really don't, not related, but it is related. I was thinking about on visitation. and thinking about our attitude and how our attitude, a lot of times, I'm talking about in the church world, gets messed up. And I thought about, and I don't know why I did, but I'll just share this with you, and I think it kind of lines up with what I'm trying to get across. On visitation, sometimes we knock on somebody's door and they come to the door. Thank God for every visitation. Thank the Lord for anybody that's willing to go out. We need that. And that, on the end of the lesson today, that comes into play. But to be effective in visitation, people, we have to have our heart right, number one. We got to do like David was doing here. You say, well, I didn't do what he's done. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Thurman. You know, the Bible does speak of if you do it in your heart, you've already committed to sin. Now, I know there's, you know, more to that than that. I'm not so dumb, I don't know that. I know there is, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, if you look upon a woman with lust, then you've lusted. And that is true. But the end results may not be the same. You can't get somebody with child by looking at them. Are you following me? But when we look at ourselves today and we say, well, I'm not committing adultery and I'm not doing this and doing it, better be careful. And so it has to do with humility. It has to do with our frame of mind. And I thought about, again, getting back to where I was at on the visitation. When we go to somebody's door, Brother Rose, and they come to the door and we act like we've done them a favor by visiting them, our attitude's wrong. Are you with me? What we ought to do is act like they've done us a favor by coming to the door. Now, I don't know where this is registering to y'all or not, but I believe that's right. So it has to do with our attitude. It has to do with humility. And I'm going to be honest with you. And this scattergun shoots a big pattern. But I don't know of too many people in the church world today that's got a lot of humility. They have rather the opposite. It's pride. And look at me. And I'm doing this. And I'm doing that. Well, I got a message for all of us. We're not doing anything outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without him or outside him, it's all in vain anyway. And so, here it said that they need to humble themselves. You know, I thought about this as I was studying this morning. I don't know. I mean, it might be way out yonder. But it seems like that David had saw this scripture here in 2 Chronicles 7:14 before he wrote this. He says, humble themselves. Well, there's a lot more here, but I say this. If we could just get that one, we'd be doing pretty good. I tell you, folks, we need some humility about us. Because humility leads to all the other things. We get that, everything else will fall in line. It's something that the church world today don't know much about. I'll brag on our pastor a little bit this morning. Let me see if you won't tell him, will you? Because we don't want to give him a big head or nothing like that, and he probably wouldn't anyway because of what I'm going to say. Thank God that we've got a pastor that has humility. I don't know about you. I mean... Don't you tell him. And I don't mean this wrong. He's kind of like I am. I'll say that. Maybe that'll make it go over a little better. He may not be the smartest person in the world, and he's not the dumbest either. Don't get me wrong. He's kind of like me is what I'm saying. A little bit smarter than me. How's that? But that's not what matters so much. It's really not. It's not what you know so much. But that's not what... That's what the world teaches today, you know. It's what you know. the intellect. But spiritually speaking, that don't go too far. Honest, it don't. I'll tell you what goes a long ways. Number one, humility goes a long ways. You show me somebody that's got a lot of humility, and I'll show you somebody that walks with the Lord daily. And I'll show you somebody. Let me back up here just a second. I'll show you somebody that understands what the will of the Lord is in their life. Humility. Humble themselves. I don't think it's an accident that's the first one. In fact, there's no accidents in this book. Humble themselves. What's next? Yeah. Who was that? You? Was that you, Thurman? Smartest man in here. Brother Thurman. Always suspicious. Now I know it. And pray. And pray. I'd say if you look at David here, he knew that. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about praying. I don't know, that's one of the main subjects in the Scriptures, really. Prayer and praying. And I'm glad that when I get really crossed up, messed up, Brother Rose, I know that I can go to the Lord and straighten it out, Thurman. Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest. Thank God for that. You better be glad for that. You better be glad when you get crossed up, messed up, stuff, the door don't shut on you. We do know that, don't we? For we have not a high priest. How much different our high priest is than he was back in the Old Testament days. Another place in Scripture says, for the blood of bulls and goats and ashes will help sprinkling unclean, sanctify the purifying the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirits offered himself without blemish and without spot. Thank God that we had a Savior that took our place and opened up the door. And he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin. And he gives us an invitation. He says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That don't mean we go in with our chest stuck out. That kind of boldly. That means that we can have an assurance that when we go, that we have an open door and that he hears us, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, men ought always to pray. One of the things lacking in the church today, and I'm going to get more specific this time than in general. I'm talking about the true, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, believing church. You know who that is, don't you? One of the greatest needs in that church today is prayer. And taking advantage of the access that we have. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How can you do that? It's an attitude. It has to do with our attitude, our thinking. You can have a prayerful thought in a mind driving down the road, on visitation, going on vacation. That's a week. No, not vacation. it shoots with a big pattern. It's getting me and you. But going on vacation, nah. We won't do nothing like that on vacation. Mess your vacation up. Amen, Brother Rose. Amen, Thurman. Amen, everybody. Do we just, you know, and I say on vacation because that seems like that's what all I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm getting to be an expert at it. And I know how we do. We don't want to mess our vacations up. We won't want to do nothing like that. So what we do, we kind of just push this stuff, the most important things in our life, by the way. And we have attention. I'm just saying vacation, that's just one thing. It can be a lot of different things. And you may never go on vacation, but this is still catching you because it's a big pattern. What we tend to do, we have the tendency to push the most important things in our lives over in a corner somewhere. And when we need that, boy, I tell you, you let one of our children get sick. Amen. I've been there. Then we go over in the corner and start dragging it out, Brother Rose. That prayer life. The really important things in our life. It's an old saying, we use God like a spare tire. I know we don't like that, but there is a lot of truth in it. Pray without ceasing. Men ought to, Luke 18:1, this is the Lord Jesus himself. If we're going to believe anybody, we'll believe him. Men ought always pray. Pray without ceasing. A lot in there about prayer. No accident. That was the second thing. Humility, prayer, we're running out of time. But look at this next one. Boy, that might be the hardest one. I don't know. I thought about this, and I believe it's true. What might be the hardest for me might not be the hardest for you. You may have not had, never in your life, had a problem with alcohol. But the man sitting beside you may have. This, to me, is probably one of the harder ones, is to turn. I can speak for me, myself, and tell you that I pray a lot and I ask the Lord to forgive me. I ask him to wash me, cleanse me. I ask him to help me do better. Does that sound like anything y'all might pray? And I'm talking with good intentions. You know what I mean? Meaning what I say. Not just, and I know we pray prayers of repetition. The Bible tells us not to do that. But if you're praying from the heart, meaning what you say, and really have genuine intentions of doing what your intention, what you're talking about, praying to the Lord about and all that. I mean, I don't think you can say it too many times. And I don't think that's a prayer of repetition. But what I'm getting around to, I'm talking about me, I pray that prayer. And then, seems like it just kind of gets lost somewhere. Prayer. Humility. Turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Notice what David says. And this is, I'm going to finish up on this because we're about done, out of time. All these things that I've talked about, Notice now, in verse 12, David says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." When you're out of sorts with the Lord, and that's what we've been talking about, getting crossed up, out of sorts, wrong attitude, so forth. How many of you go back every now and then and do a little reminiscing? Take inventory of your life. Good to do that. I do it a lot. But I remember, Brother Rose, how it used to be in my life. And then I have to fast forward and see where I'm at now. And I think most of us, probably without exception, would have to say there's been times in our lives when we're in better shape than we are right now. Maybe not everybody, but most of us. And I said that to say this, you'll never have the complete joy of your salvation until, let me back up here, we understand what the will of the Lord is in our life. Not only understand it, but act upon it. Make an effort. And I will say this, there's nothing else like it. Walking with the Lord, being in the will of the Lord in your life personally. If you're here this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God, you know what I'm talking about. And then, I said that, and I'm going to move on to say this. Not only does it affect us, but it affects others. Secondly, that's second. We're number one, and then others. Notice what David said. Then, after you get things straightened out, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and notice what it says here. It's not an accident again, Brother Thurman. Everything's in order in the Scripture. And them will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. How important. I know we all have. I started to say, have you ever, and then I'll not say that because I know the answer. We wonder why more people are not being saved than what they are. Again, I know there's more into that than that. But anyway, it is important for us to realize the will of the Lord in our heart and life. To carry through on that, and that's not saying, and I know we're all human. I know we all get messed up. I know we all get sideways, Brother Rose. We all get in a ditch sometimes. That's the way we are. But we have an access to the throne of grace. And I believe if we're saved, we know that we need to get out of the ditch, get back on the road, and be the kind of Christian that we ought to be. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not unwise. If you said that another way, it would be wise. Be wise. But understand what the will of the Lord is in our lives. I hope I've said something this morning. Maybe at least get us to thinking a little bit and understand, boy, we need more humility. We need more prayer. And we need to turn. And it said there, because the days are evil.
The time we live in. Last days. Perilous days.